This episode of The Apartment Guys is being brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group. Greenlight Equity Group acquires and operates cash-flowing multifamily assets in progressive metropolitan markets such as Salt Lake City, Idaho, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, and Columbus, Ohio. Greenlight targets consistent solid returns for its investors and a healthy environment for residents by operating high-quality, safe, clean, affordable apartment communities. To learn more about Greenlight and to sign up for the investor list, go to www.glequitygroup.com.
Welcome to The Apartment Guys, where we dive deep into all things multifamily investing. Our mission is to educate, inspire, and empower real estate investors to reach their highest potential. Each week, host Tate Seymour interviews high-level guests from all over the industry who are sure to bring valuable, actionable ideas that will propel your career to the next level. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned investor, you are in the right place. And now your host, the apartment guy, Tate Seymour.
Welcome everybody back to another episode of the Apartment Guys podcast. Today's episode is with Mr. Blake Daly, an active duty Air Force service member. We're super grateful too for his service, and he has completely replaced his Air Force income with passive income through real estate investing. And this story is super inspiring. He's a young man and he is killing it. So I hope that you get a lot out of it. One of the things that we talk about is the book Grit by Angela Duckworth. Just wanted to mention that. And Blake cites the discipline that he's gotten from being a service member and cites Grit as being a very important book for him. We talk about the power of giving back through meetup groups and podcasts. And Blake has his own podcast, which is a fantastic podcast. I encourage you to listen to. So anyway, if you like this episode, and I hope you do, please go to your platform and leave a rating and review for the show. That means a lot to me. So I really appreciate you doing that. And without further ado, let's just get into it with Mr. Blake Daly. Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of the Apartment Guys podcast. Today, we've got Mr. Blake Daly on the show. Super excited to have Blake with us. Blake is an active duty Air Force and started his real estate journey with a VA loan house hack using an Airbnb strategy. And he's since successfully done these Burr method Airbnb wholesales and flips, which I'm sure he'll tell us all about here in a few minutes. He calls it Burr&B, right? Is that what you call it? Burr&B?
Yep. Burr&B or Burr&B.
Burr&B. That's first for me. I've known of the Burr method forever, of course, and Airbnb, but Burr&B, I like it. And so basically you've burred several properties and you rent them out as short-term rentals. That's pretty brilliant. We'll talk about that more of that in a minute, but that's afforded you some financial freedom and open the door to grow bigger and scale into commercial multifamily, which is what we're going to talk about today. He's now working to syndicate large commercial multifamily with his group Growth View Partners. That's VUE Partners, Growth View Partners, where they focus on long-term wealth creation and giving back. So Blake, super stoked to have you. Thanks so much for being with me.
Yeah. Today. Thanks, Tate. Thanks for having me on. Excited to do the show with you.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. So let's just kind of start with kind of the man behind the bio here. I'd love to know a little bit about you, where you're from, and kind of the story behind Blake Daly.
Yeah. So originally from a small town in Indiana, and a football coach came knocking on my door, and that's what brought me to the Air Force Academy. And while I was there, that's where I got into real estate, read some business books and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And you got to thinking like, this is something I could do, because I always wanted to get into business for myself and wanted to do something entrepreneurial. It's like real estate would allow me to have the freedom and have all of that. So let's dive into that. And once we got here in Panama City, my wife and I bought our first property with the VA loan, got off to a hot start, found some partners, and then did a burr a couple months later, and then for several months just did deals consecutively, and was making a lot of headway doing wholesales. Started doing burrs just me and my wife, and did our first complete burr and bee, which we did a burr and rented it out on Airbnb. And we saw the income generated from that, especially down here in this market, and really opened up our eyes. And since we've done several more, and in just a little over 12 months reached our financial freedom number. So now my real estate income cash flow, like net cash flow, is over my Air Force income, which has been a really cool progression. I thought that would be like my 5-year goal, because I have a 5-year Heck service commitment. It happened in the first year, so got to thinking bigger, and kind of along that whole process started, you know, seeing the inefficiencies and the headaches that come along with having a bunch of different residential properties all over town. Was running into the limits of my time and resources there, so pretty quickly came the idea like I could get into commercial multifamily, because I was already doing commercial loans and rehabs and raising private money and all that kind of stuff. So thought to myself, I could do the same exact thing, you know, with more units and have a bigger impact and reach my goals faster. So made that pivot, got in with GrowthView through just mutual connection with Brad Pinley, who's in one of my mastermind groups, and got in with GrowthView, and have since been focusing on syndicating like large commercial multifamily properties. And that's been really exciting. A lot of fun since that transition, and got in with them.
Yeah. Awesome. So it was GrowthView. We're going to unpack a few things there that you just went through, but did you guys put GrowthView together yourselves, or was GrowthView around and you joined up with them?
Yeah. So GrowthView actually came together before me. So they had a couple guys with common goals together that had started the process, you know, talking to brokers, raising money, that kind of thing, but really refined their process and refined their, you know, their vision and their why right about the time that I came in. And we all wanted to do more. Like, so with GrowthView, since I got in, we've set up a endowment fund to where we give 10% of the GP profits towards different charities like Operation Second Chance, Operation Underground Railroad, and a couple others, to where we're supporting charitable causes that we all believe in. So it was kind of a progression. When I got in, we really hit it hard, started raising a ton of money and getting a lot more deal flow. And now we're just looking to get that first big commercial deal together, because we all have, you know, millions of real estate separately, but this will be the first big venture together.
Yeah. That's super exciting. All right. So let's back up for a sec. So the first thing, you know, first major huge takeaway here is that anyone with access to VA loans could take advantage of what you were able to achieve, or what you were able to take advantage of. And a VA loan is typically either nothing down or very little down. And it, obviously you need to be, you know, ex-service member to qualify, but they're generally, I think, easier to qualify for, very little money, if anything, down, and you're able to buy something. You can kind of do almost a house hack slash burr. And I think really for the listeners, we should just real quick kind of go through those concepts and how, you know, in particular, in your particular situation, how you applied those concepts. So the BRRRR strategies, BRRRR stands for buy, remodel, rent, refinance, and repeat. I think I got that right. Pretty buy, close rehab, to that.
Rent, refinance, repeat.
Yeah. So that's what BRRRR stands for. And of course, a house hack is when you buy a rental house with an owner occupied loan and you live in it for a period of time, 6 months, a year, depending on the requirements of the bank and whatnot of the loan. But so you can do both of those strategies together if you're treating your house hack like a rental right out of the gate. And it sounds like that's what you were able to do, Blake.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first off, if anybody listening to this is in the military and doesn't know like their benefit of using the VA loan, definitely like get into that. Just go like Google how to use the VA loan. Super simple, because it is a homeowner occupied loan. Like, you deal with the the lender, and they kind of walk you through the whole process, get you qualified. And it's a way that you can get into a house for zero down via loans, or zero down for service members, veterans, and like qualifying spouses. And that's what I did. I just studied, educated, so that when the time came, I knew what I wanted to do and I knew my strategy. And you can get these zero down loans on 1 to 4 unit properties. So anything that's 1 to 4 units is considered residential, and the lenders will lend on that. So yeah, my idea was, hey, let's find a fourplex. Like, let's get as many units as we can. And at the time here, and at the beginning of the summer of 2019, when we were looking in Panama City, like, they had were less than a year off of a Category 5 hurricane. Inventory was very low, and then what was on the market was damaged. So generally, to qualify for a VA loan, it can't be a big renovation project. You can, right, like the current property I'm living in now is a live-in B&B, and it did need some renovations, but it was cosmetic stuff, so nothing that affected, you know, the house being livable. So had to find a livable house, and couldn't find anything that, you know, fit my criteria. That was a fourplex. So we ended up finding a residential, like single family house with an attached unit. Mm. And that was our second unit that we could then rent, get the VA loan on, and combine those two strategies like you were talking about. So we got in for nothing down and then rented out the extra space. And with Airbnb, our income was a lot higher. So we were actually net cash flowing $100 to live in this property for free that we bought for zero down.
That is
like the best of all circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. That hopefully that fires up some of our listeners. I've almost got chills on my back here. Just, I mean, it's so cool to see all that come together and to see it all done and executed as well as you were able to do it. That's really something. So it looks like you're a little out of focus all of a sudden, yeah, bud.
The auto.
There you go. No biggie. Either way, it's all good. That's for our YouTube viewers, not our podcast. Yeah,
my webcam just got a little blurry.
Yeah, technology, love it. So for at that point, you actually started in one move. You acquired real estate. You replaced all of your housing expense, essentially, and you started positive cash flowing, which is the very beginning of replacing your W-2 J-O-B income, right?
Yeah. So it was a really good purchase in general, because I learned how to manage cash flow and expenses with that first one. And then also, like, all my living expenses, mortgage, you know, taxes, insurance, all the way down to my Wi-Fi were covered by the Airbnb income. And, you know, from that point is when we had $100 excess. So at that point, you know, it freed up a lot of my income that I wasn't spending on housing to go and do different things with and help myself grow. So started putting more money into direct mail and things like that to get more leads so that I could do more deals. So yeah, right off the bat, like, having that extra income, like, was a big help.
So you, like so many of us, Rich Dad, Poor Dad was a part of your progression. When did you read that? When did that enter your world?
Yeah. Super cliche. The Purple Bible.
Yeah. The Purple Book. Yep.
Read that. I want to say sometime in 2018. Okay. And then 2019 made our first purchase.
Okay. So that was that. So you already had in your head kind of a bigger picture strategy when you made your first purchase. You kind of, so to speak, knew what you were doing. You didn't just kind of stumble your way into it.
I thought I knew what I was doing, but, you know, figured it out all out trial by fire by just, you know, sitting in the fire, as my football coach would say, sit in the fire. But yeah, so as soon as I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, I was like, yeah, real estate's pretty cool. And then started looking more into it just through Google searches, found Bigger Pockets. I think the next real estate book I read was one of Brandon Turner's books, the book on investing in rental properties, and then started doing like the Wednesday webinar, started like asking the questions in the forums and started being really active there. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is what equipped me to go out and be ready for that first purchase, because I'd already, you know, read tons of case studies of people using the VA loan, what to look out for. So I knew the kind of property that I needed. So doing the upfront diligence definitely helped. And while I was at the academy, I couldn't purchase a house because I wasn't, you know, I had to live, you know, in the dorms on base. So it kind of helped me because it gave me the time to study. But yeah, I'd also say, like, once you have enough information, just make the jump, because you don't want to get analysis paralysis.
Right. Yeah, totally. But your mindset, you spoke to kind of, you know, nurturing your mindset, developing, chiseling your mindset so that you have, you know, the specialized knowledge that you need to, you know, as you said, to find the right property for the loan. But also you surrounded yourself with enough thought leaders and books, and I would think podcasts probably, and audiobooks and whatnot, that, and you said a Wednesday webinar, I think, to really develop and hone your belief in as to what's possible, right?
Yeah, for sure. It was just taking in, you know, really like immersing myself in the content. And now, like, I'm in mastermind groups talking with people that are, you know, in real estate full time, and that's like their main thing. But at the time, I didn't have those masterminds. I didn't have ideas to bounce off of other people. There's no one else. It's just me. So I needed those podcasts to think through other people's, you know, thought processes as they had their discussions, and then read their blog posts and read about their deals to get the experience without going through it myself. So that was big to help me, you know, avoid a lot of mistakes that I see, you know, new people making now, because they just get in and they don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So smart. And so, you know, you really focus on giving back. I'll go ahead and just mention your podcast here right off the bat, Multifamily Investor Journey Podcast.
Multifamily Journey Podcast. Yep.
Yep. And, you know, you say in podcast number one that for you, it's about giving back. And if you can make one person financially free, financially independent through your podcast, then it's worth the time for you. So I can tell, Blake, that you're a giver, you're a go-giver, so to speak, as the book talks about. And you know, to me, that's just a recipe for success. I think that you're bound to be incredibly successful given the foundation you've built and the mindset that you have. Speak a little bit to, you know, I know to be, you know, an active duty position the way that you've been takes just an incredible amount of discipline and, amongst other things, just precision, you know, persistence. Can you speak a little bit to how that those values have, first of all, how you've developed those values, and second of all, how they have applied to your progression so far in the real estate world?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is the discipline that gets instilled into you very early when you join the military. And I think that's something that serves you well no matter what you do inside or outside the military and what comes later. But without that foundational level of discipline, you know, you can't build the persistence and that grit that you need to get through the hard times. Because as you know, Tate, like, real estate isn't all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Like, there's deals where you lose money or that don't work out. And there's tenants, there's evictions. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, the people on social media make it seem so easy and that it's, you know, it's great. So that was, you know, the driving force behind my podcast, is just be transparent with it, like give all the advice. But back to your question, yeah, discipline would be a big one. After that, I think from that comes the persistence. And I think the most important is just grit. So if you've ever read Grit by Angela Duckworth, I think she does a really good job of breaking that down. It's like the long-term perseverance, or the perseverance toward long-term goals, is what she defines grit as. And I think if, you know, you want to be financially free in a day or in a week, or if you want to, you know, have 100 units by the end of, you know, the month, it's just not going to happen. So you have to have grit to get through that. And then, yeah, I think those are the biggest ones, you know, the discipline, the persistence, and the grit.
Persistence towards long-term goals is Angela Duckworth's definition of grit. Yep,
that's the one. I might have butchered it, but that's what I was getting at.
No, that's good. That's powerful. So yeah, listeners, I'll put that in the show notes, but we've got the book Grit by Angela Duckworth is a recommendation. So that's one I'm not familiar with. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. It's on the shelf somewhere. Super good read. It's not too long, but I mean, just packed with good information. And yeah, building a business, building a portfolio, you got to have it. So
yeah, Yeah, cool. So speak a little bit to your role now with GrowthView in terms of, you know, what you do, what you bring to the team, and I guess more broadly, like, what's your superpower?
Yeah, so for me, when I came on, how it came to be was every week in our mastermind, I'd be talking with Brad, and we're the only two in that specific mastermind that do or were doing multifamily. And at this point, I was finding the deals, I was calling the brokers, I was underwriting the deals, I was raising the money, I was doing everything. I was like trying to syndicate by myself. And I was like, man, this is a lot of work. This is hard. And got a few LOIs in on a 56 unit and a 44 unit that were like so close, but for whatever reason, we were just off like by, you know, 5% or whatever. And the sellers just wouldn't budge because it's a seller's market right now. But I'll stick to my guns and like sharing my frustration with Brad. And he was like, man, you're killing it. You're raising this money by yourself. And just by sharing what you've done up to this point and, you know, finding good deals as well. He's like, that's what we need more of on this team. You know, so now with GrowthView, I'm on the capital markets and capital development team. So basically finding like-minded investors that fit our vision and where we want to take the company with long-term wealth building and then a focus on giving back. So we like to say that, like, when investors invest with us, they're not just making money, but also making an impact in the charities that we give our profits to. It doesn't affect investor returns, but they just have that kind of feel good. Cause if you ask people to donate to charity, they might give you like $10 or $5 or whatever. But you know, if you can give them, you know, that mid-teens return, but they also get this cool social impact, I think that has been kind of our biggest contributor and people have been liking that. So really just finding like-minded investors by being a really good networker, just getting out there. I run a meetup here in Panama City Beach. So just doing everything I can to continue to grow the network. And then on the capital development side, like I did wholesaling for almost a whole year. So got really good at direct mail and cold calling and door knocking, talking to sellers, sitting in their living rooms and making deals. So now that's what I'm doing again, is hunting down deals like a bloodhound on the trail and trying to put it together.
I love it. I was smiling for the last 60 seconds of that, man. I'm inspired. So I mean, a couple things to unpack there, just the power of giving back, right? The power of being in service and having a mission that's greater than just returns for your investors, but something that is much more broad and much ultimately more important than dollars and cents.
Yeah. And everybody wants to make money. So you have to have a good business plan behind it, but it definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The social good there.
But it speaks a lot to you guys too, as people that's, it's important enough to you to incorporate that into your business model and into your investor relations. And like you said, I'm sure that makes them feel really good about it. You mentioned in passing that you do a meetup group in Panama City there. Is that a multifamily meetup group or just a real estate meetup group? Or?
Yeah. So it's kind of broad. Like we really welcome everybody in. We have a different topic every week. So we like to provide some education for the first 20 to 30 minutes. And then we go around the room. So everybody gets to share, you know, say what they're doing, kind of get their soapbox for a little bit. And then we just have open networking. That's, you know, where the deals happen, where you find, you know, other like-minded investors, and a lot of good stuff comes out of that. So not specifically multifamily. I think on Meetup, it's called like the Panama City Beach Multifamily Meetup. But I mean, people who wholesale, who flip, they all come just to have the networking. So,
yeah, we've got our first meeting for the Salt Lake City Multifamily Meetup Group this next Wednesday. So
yeah,
first time I've ever run a meetup group.
No, it'll be good. I'm just learning this. I took this over from Brad, who is on GrowthView as well. He PCS'd or, you know, changed duty stations from Panama City Beach to San Diego. And because of that, I took over for him and just kind of made it a smooth transition for the group, but I'm kind of learning everything that goes into building a meetup. So yeah, trying to do my diligence there and learn and continue to provide value for the people that show up and new ones, awesome. Hopefully who do to, you know, come in and grow.
Yeah. That's awesome. Speak a little bit to what you guys are doing in terms of like the ideal next deal. Like what are you looking for? Where are you looking? What size, scale, age, all that stuff?
Yeah. So we're looking for B to C plus class value add 1980 built or newer garden style apartments that are generally 100+ units. And I say generally because there are some markets, you know, that might make sense because of the NOI numbers to go a little bit smaller, you know, 80, 75, 70 units. So really, you know, large commercial multifamily so that we can have on-site management and have our asset manager, Rick, manage the manager, because I think anything smaller than that, you really have to, you know, can't have the on-site management and you lose a little bit of the efficiency and scale there. So a couple of the markets we're looking at are Atlanta, the Carolinas, DFW, Austin. So those are kind of our main ones we're starting to get a lot of really good deal flow out of, but it's competitive and we don't really want to, you know, compromise on our criteria or on our like return projection. So just still trying to find the right right property, have a ton of capital sitting ready to go. So as soon as we find the right opportunity, excited to make it happen. So hopefully it's pretty soon.
Yeah. So, and you're focused on those four markets, or how are you attacking on brokers, direct to sellers?
Yeah. So it's mostly been conversations with the brokers and really developing relationships. And to the team's credit, you know, they have been together since before I came on. So they had a pretty good system of tracking brokers. There's a list of all of them, trying to hit them at least every 2 weeks and just really continue to build a relationship, learn about them, and continue to reiterate our criteria so that when they see something like that, they think, oh, this is a growth view deal because it fits their criteria perfectly. So that's been big for us. And we've started to get a lot of good deal flow and found a couple that really worked for us and put the LOIs in, and just for a couple of different reasons. One, somebody put like $250,000 hard from day one, and we just didn't want to compete with that or couldn't, I guess, that a lot of risk before due diligence even starts. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a deal that I really want in Columbus, Ohio right now. And it's one that is unfortunately on the market and it's going to get a ton of activity. And I had a great conversation with the broker about it yesterday, and it, you know, it definitely begs for like non-refundable earnest money. It's one of those situations. I know pretty much beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's an asset that we really want, would be perfect for us right now. So, but it's
a tough competitive environment. It really is. It's a really saturated market. I think a lot of people, you know, do those multifamily courses and really quickly call themselves multifamily investors. But yeah, right. That's one of my frustrations with the market here recently.
Well, and then there's just so much money out there, right?
There is.
There's so much capital on both sides, on the debt side and the equity side, and the all of it's inexpensive money, and it makes it easy to do deals. And you've got a lot of institutions that are pulling out of hotels and retail and office buildings and need a place to put that money. And multifamily still makes sense in so many different ways.
Yeah, I think as long as interest rates are low, it's going to continue to be competitive. Yeah. You know, all those forces you just said are absolutely true.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So, as far as expansion and you want to be in those four markets, what do you guys see yourselves doing in the next, you know, 3-5 years?
Yeah. So I think even more so in the immediate future, you know, get that first deal, because I think that gets the ball rolling. And then like we're just talking about having those broker relations and those relationships, it shows like, all right, they did a deal. Now here's all the off market deals. So continue to, to close. So we've really built up our capital stack to where we're looking really good to be able to do two or three deals in the, in the coming months or year, or whatever that looks like based on the deal flow. And then from then on out, it's really long-term wealth creation with these value add assets. So creating passive income for ourselves and for our investors, definitely a,
a big motivating factor for everybody on the team, just to kind of create the lifestyle that we all envision. And I think a lot of us, like one of our Rick, our asset manager, had 7 McDonald's in downtown Manhattan, netting like $22 million a year, but liquidated to get into multifamily because he was tied to that kind of corporate structure. And it just, I think a lot of people get tired of that. And passive income is an amazing solution for a lot of people to go out and live the lifestyle they want. Certainly for me, you know, I'd love to have a, you know, real estate business that allows me to go out and meet you in Salt Lake City and tear up the slopes and, you know, go travel the world and spend time with my family. So I think that's a big motivating factor for all of us. So in the next 3 to 5 years, we'd love to have, you know, a dozen or so high performing value add assets that are paying off for our investors.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting. There's no doubt in my mind that you guys are going to make that happen. It's that you spoke a little bit ago to kind of the magic of the first deal or the rule of the first deal. And once you break that barrier, so to speak, in the industry, you all of a sudden you have credibility with brokers and lenders and capital that you didn't have before. And it makes it a lot easier to get deals done from that point forward. So, you know, that's a critical point in progression, is the Michael Blount calls it the law of the first deal. And I have it right behind me, I'll show it to you. It's a little coin that I have called the law of the first deal.
There you go.
I know it's a little,
that's
weird,
a coin, but I need, I'm ready to cash in and get that one.
Yeah. So I got that from one of his events, but
very nice.
Yeah. So, well, cool. So speaking to, you know, folks that are, you know, we kind of gave some good ideas and feedback for folks that are looking maybe to house hack or to get into a BRRRR, which I think anyone, no matter what your long-term goals are with apartments or anything else, there's just no reason to not use the power of an owner-occupied loan to get a personal portfolio going, right?
Especially as a way to get started multifamily as well, right? Because you have multiple units and you can see right off the bat the impact that when you have, say, 4 units with the residential loan and one goes vacant, you're not coming out of pocket for the mortgage. It's, you know, likely still paying for itself and maybe even cash flowing with a vacancy. And then you extrapolate that over, you know, 100 units like we're looking at. And if you have, you know, too much occupancy, then you're probably charging too low a rent. So you need to see some occupancy at that level, or you're not running the most efficient way. So yeah, I think as a way to get into multifamily with the owner occupied loan right off the bat, I mean, there's no better way, because whether it's a VA loan at 0% down or, you know, a FHA loan that's 3.5% down,
right,
and that's getting in for, you know, pennies on the dollar of what that asset costs. And then you learn to manage it yourself and all the nuances and intricacies of property management, and which makes you a better asset manager later on. So many benefits.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's a really brilliant way of speaking to the power of kind of starting smaller, you know, because a lot of people have in their mindset that you do need to start in smaller multifamily and kind of graduate your way up. And some people call that a myth. I think that's a myth personally. I think you can jump in and into larger scale right away, but you got to have the right mentors and the right partners. And so there's perfect legitimacy to starting in the multifamily space with your house hack and your BRRRR method, and then learning the game, like you were talking about, learning property management, which translates to asset management, and learning the power of leverage and the power of having your mortgage covered, even if you do come up with one vacancy. But just spoke to that.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right too. Like, you don't, multifamily does not have to be the scary pie in the sky to say you have to, you know, have a certain number of units or experience or whatever before you get into commercial. Like, you can get right into that, but like you're saying, you have to have that experience in other areas, you know, whether it's your partners, whether it's your mentors, whatever that is. You know, you went through one of the rigorous training programs like that Michael Blount or whoever puts on. There's ways to shorten your learning curve in a big way. But if you want to go about it just natural organic growth and kind of have it on your terms, like, going the small multifamily route with a homeowner occupied loan is definitely a good way to get started.
Yeah. And I'd recommend kind of all of the above. You know, I think doing a mentorship program like the Michael Blanc program or, you know, dozens of others that are completely legit or developing your own organic relationship with a mentor slash partner, you know, that's really where, like you said, you can shorten the learning curve quite a bit. And not only shorten the learning curve, but really like propel yourself into the space of actually doing deals, because you're working very intimately at that point with somebody who has done lots of deals and knows how to get them done and basically knows how to get you from where you are to where you want to be. Right. So, well, yeah, said. The power of mentorship is so huge. So huge.
Well said. And you can get that from mastermind groups too. Like, I mean, all my growth this year has been because of masterminds, you know, in large part.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us what you get out of that, how it works and whatnot.
Yeah. So I started in the War Room Mastermind, which Dave Perret runs and Stu Grazier. Dave's is his company brand is From Military to Millionaire. Probably a lot of people recognize that. And then Stu's and David Gutierrez have Storehouse 310 Ventures, do turnkey in Milwaukee. But those two guys, Stu and David, started the War Room Mastermind, which is for all service members, you know, active duty vets, whatever, all the different services as well. So that group has, when I got in, was like 30 or 40 people, maybe less, I don't know. But now it's like 60, almost 70 people. And we meet every week as small, we call them squads. So that's 5 to 6 people in that squad. Mm-hmm. And then once a month we meet as a whole group on over Zoom and get a presentation delivered to. It's kind of like a live podcast that you can ask like Q&A during it. And like we've had, David Osborne on there, which is really cool. Scott Lewis from Spartan Investments, like a lot of big guys that are doing really big things in real estate. And Bill Allen, we've had him on there. And that way you get like your specific information, get asked questions, get to meet as a whole group, but ongoing each week, you know, you're keeping each other accountable and, you know, you have those progress checks and you get ideas bouncing back and forth. You get, you know, private lenders that will fund your flips. You get partners to do deals on. Like we just had guys in there close at 18 unit, their first syndication. They met in the group and now they're doing their next one together. And that story has played itself out many, many times since this group started. And then my other mastermind, that one meets at the end of the week. My other one meets at the beginning of the week. It's all local guys here who are trying to grow portfolios. That's where I met Brad and he was doing the multifamily stuff. And that's how I got in with Growth View. Now we're, you know, as a team, we're doing much bigger stuff, much bigger deals and seeing much bigger progress and have many more zeros on the end of the numbers than we would by ourselves. So just the growth and the opportunity that comes from meeting with like-minded folks on a consistent basis and, you know, growing together is huge. Just, I mean, invaluable, really.
Yeah. And that's powerful in a way that a one-on-one mentorship really isn't, if you think about it, because you're pooling the resources and talents and ideas of a huge group of people, a mastermind, right? That's what the word means. And that's really, I mean, the quantum intelligence of that group is unlike anything that you could ever get from just a single person, a single relationship. And that's just outstanding. So,
yeah. And that's where my podcast and where everything came from. And, you know, commercial multifamily evolved from those meetups. So, I mean, just pretty much everything
you get through,
it just opens doors.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and it's the same with the meetups you do in person, right? You're starting yours. It's the same thing. Like people will come there and learn about topics they never knew about, and then they'll go do it and change their life going forward. I mean, it's just, right. Yeah, getting with other investors is invaluable to your growth, I think.
Yeah. Well said. So I just want to I've never done this on my podcast before, but I just want to really challenge our listeners, like, in this podcast, because we have just been, Blake has been throwing out actionable steps and items here left and right. I think I've thrown out a few too, some concepts on what you can be doing really at any different place that you are in your career to get to the next place in your career, right? And we've talked about, you know, the mindset that it takes, grit. We've talked about a book that you can read specifically about that. We've talked about the power of your of a mastermind, the power of a mentor, the power of giving back, the power of meetup groups. We've talked about, you know, FHA loans, VA loans that you can use to buy a property as with little to nothing down, which is like, it, you know, either, you know, superiorly high leverage or even, you know, infinite leverage if you're zero down, right? There's just there's a lot of things here. And just to kind of bring it back full circle, well, first of all, listeners, like, just pick one of those. And if there was one I missed that you heard earlier in the podcast and it spoke to you, like, pick it, put it at the top of your priority list and get it done, and just put the grit behind it that Blake's spoken to, that mindset that it takes, that, as Kobe Bryant said, the Mamba mindset, right? Just kind of, you know, outworking everybody else in the room and getting it done.
Yeah, that's good, because well, first of all, I think next time we do this, we'll have to bring our oven mitts, because we've just been throwing fireballs back and forth. but yeah, I think any one of those strategies we talked about could make somebody a millionaire. I mean, you could easily over a couple of years use homeowner occupied loans to build up your cash flow and equity and become a millionaire. You could get into commercial multifamily and do one deal and become a millionaire. It's going to take you a lot longer and be more work. You do Burr and B, you know, there's all those different things. So yeah, I think what you just said is like, pick one thing that resonates with you and just go all in it with whatever resonates and matches your personality. Like we both do multifamily, but you know, maybe that's not you. Like, find what resonates with you and go after it.
Right. And if it is multifamily, and chances are, if you're listening still, that you're into apartments, it's the Apartment Guys podcast and whatnot. Like, you know, all of the above is applicable to multifamily and to apartment building investing. One of the things that strikes me in your story, Blake, is that, you know, you've continued to use the Burr and B strategy that you mastered and you learned and developed as your bread and butter. And you've gone ahead and essentially replaced your military. You have replaced your military income with that Burr and B strategy. And I think for a lot of people, and even myself included, I've had the mindset that, you know, I'm not going to be able to replace my income till I have 500 doors under my management. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you've done it with how many, you know, a dozen or, you know, somewhere around there doors. Right. Like, yep. And the right leverage with the right amount of income, it can be a lot easier to replace your job income, your W-2 income, than you think. It might be one 12-plex that you buy and you own most of. I know a woman in her late 30s who owns an Airstream and travels around the country, and her whole life is paid for by a 12-plex in Pennsylvania that she owns and has owned for like 20 years.
I like the sound of that. That sounds
like great. Isn't that great? I mean, and that's good enough for her. She's not out like chasing anything else. Like, you know,
everybody's financial freedom number is different. And you know, that for some, that might be 500 doors, or that might be 50. That might be five. You know, I mean, I have seven Airbnb units that are pumping off, you know, like $5,000 a month on an annual average. So it doesn't take much.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's financial freedom right there, guys. So, man,
but
that's
the multifamily inspiring stuff is what excites both of us, because like the impact and the deal size can be a lot bigger and you can get there with one deal, you know?
Yeah. How did you, was there a conversation or a person or something specific that kind of pointed you in the direction of the larger scale multifamily?
It was honestly just like through the trial of running my residential portfolio, you know, having 13 units now, I just learned by doing those deals. And, you know, I was doing wholesaling before that as a way to generate the cash influx I'd need to go buy more rental properties and do more BRRRs with. Mm-hmm. And it just got to be a headache managing all the, you know, all the maintenance that happens and all the just little things of, and all the transactions going along on simultaneously. And I had a deal where I raised private money. I got a commercial loan on the refi, did a rehab, and this was 2 units. And I was like, 2 units. It's like, I could have had a, you know, done essentially the same thing and, you know, 10x it with 20 units and it wouldn't have been a whole lot different. Still would have been the same commercial loan, would have been the same lender, you know, would have needed private money for that as well. It's just taking it up that one next step to get a little bit more uncomfortable, but it's, you know, adding that zero on the end would not have fundamentally changed anything. And that was kind of my light bulb. I said, you know, it's time. And I'd read that book. I don't know if you can see it back there. Multifamily Millions. That was like one of the first books I read. Cause I was like, yeah, I think multifamily sounds good. Mm-hmm. And then put it away, like never came back to it. And then I had that epiphany. I was like, yeah, I need to get into multifamily like ASAP.
Yeah. For me, it was a book too. There's a book by a guy named Lance Edwards called how to make big money in small apartments. And it's just a really good overview of the whole game and the whole, you're just finding deals and finding dollars and putting them together and making deals happen. And he kind of simplifies things down and he does a really great job with mindset and developing the mindset that it takes to believe that you can pull off a 50 unit or 100 unit, 150 unit deal.
Yeah. So much of it is mindset, really. I see that hold people back a lot. And it's just getting over the hump in your own mind. And when you get to that level, you're dealing with NOI instead of comps. And it's easier to and straightforward to add value, you know, all based on a factor of the income. So the big value add and the big equity creation is based on, you know, getting that NOI higher with the commercial properties.
Yeah. And just to expound on that. So, you know, anytime you're above 4 units in real estate, you're talking about a commercial asset, and the valuation of commercial real estate is determined specifically and only by the amount of income that it's producing. And it has nothing to do with comps. I mean, there, of course, there's going to be some correlation and that sort of thing with other comps. But when it comes to an appraiser, when appraiser is going to look at a value of a property, they're going to look at the net operating income, the NOI, as Blake was just saying. So, and because of that, you can predictably and reliably raise the value or force the appreciation of the value of an asset and know exactly what you're going to get out of an investment to, you know, when you improve it. So it's a really different world. It kind of instills a level of confidence in the ability to say, I can pick this asset up for X. I can raise rents by $75 a month. And I know that because I can look at other comps and rental comps and that sort of thing. And I can add $150,000 in NOI at a 5 cap. That's whatever, however many million, a couple million dollars, I think. I can't remember how it works out.
What's cool, but when you're dealing with that too, you can make a big impact with little out of pocket with the right property, right? Just by reducing expenses.
Yeah.
Because you don't always have to go in and rehab to raise rents. I mean, it could be as simple as changing vendors or, you know, implementing a RUBS ratio utility billing system where you bill back the tenants for water. There's a lot of simple, maybe straightforward would be the better way to put it. Straightforward ways to increase your NOI and create like crazy value.
Yeah. And one of the things we're starting to see too is management plays where we're seeing, like I saw a 540 unit portfolio in Oklahoma City recently. And the average occupancy rate between there were three complexes was 78%. So you got 22% vacancy running on 500 plus units.
You're talking about 100 plus vacancies.
Woo. And I mean, you improve that by, you know, you get it from 20% to 10%. And the effect of that on your NOI is so massive. And you've just increased the value of that property, you know, in life-changing ways.
Let's take this to the next level, because that's an awesome deal. I mean, you talk about adding that much value to a property, you could probably likely refinance and get out the CapEx needed or the down payment or whatever on the original loan. And now you're at above 90% occupancy, so you can get agency debt and non-recourse, and then you could potentially have low to no money left in and have no recourse on the loan. I mean, you're essentially at no risk at that point.
Yeah, and you're collecting, and it's cash flow, and you're it's essentially an infinite return at that point. No money in. It's beautiful.
You're getting me excited right now.
Yeah, me too, man.
this is stuff that gets me going.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully the listeners are with us on this one. It's yeah, pretty
this
fun
might need a little rewind, but that's good stuff in there.
Yeah, it does need a rewind.
Hopefully that deal works out for you guys. I'd be interested to see that. It'd be a good play.
Yeah. Yeah, we're determining what we're going to do with an LOI on that. So it's all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but all of a sudden we are starting to see deals. We're recording this on November 13th, 2020. It'll probably be out in a couple, this episode will be out in a couple weeks. But just in the last week, even our deal flow has increased probably by like 100%.
Yeah, I'd say in the last, for us in our markets, like the last 2 weeks, maybe 2.5, 3, like has been the same song and dance, like a lot more deal flow coming online. I think all the sellers want to sell by the end of the year. And I actually saw a deal that they're offering a $500,000 discount, which from 7 million to 6.5, if the potential buyer would close by the end of the year, because they need that, you know, to close the year for the tax purposes. So there's definitely deals out there right now. You just got to be able to close in, 47 days or whatever it is.
Well, I'm really excited for you guys because you've set yourself up so well with your capital stack, and you know, it sounds like you've been grooming your investors and preparing them for what's about to happen. And you know, like the markets that we're in, Oklahoma City is one of them. All of our brokers there are saying we've got stuff coming up here in around the first of the year. We're going to have a lot more inventory, and that's such a hot market that I think I'd like to hope that's a determiner that we're going to just see a lot of good opportunities that we can kind of almost start to cherry pick a little bit and find the really, you know, the needle in a haystack type
we've
deals.
Been the same thing as well. And that's why we're planning to launch our fund in January, unless a really good deal comes along beforehand. But yeah, planning a January 1 launch on that.
There you go. All right. So talk to listeners about how they can reach you, Blake.
Yeah. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on multifamilyjourney.com. That's my website. My calendar's on there. My email's on there. So I just have time set aside to, have 15, 30 minute conversations with people that have questions on any number of things, real estate, want to learn more how to invest. If you want to invest personally, you can find my calendar on there. Email's on there. Basically everything. Yeah. So you can go to multifamilyjourney.com.
Yep. Multifamily Journey podcast.
Yep.
Check podcast. That out.
Yep. The podcast as well. I just started something where people can go to Multifamily Journey podcast or multifamilyjourney.com/podcast and input questions there that I'll go through and ask the guest on the podcast so they can, if somebody's got a burning question, I'll, ask it to my guest and, just kind of get a little bit more involvement that way.
Oh, that's super smart. That's super smart. Just one last question for you, kind of esoteric, but what's your definition of success?
Ooh, this one's out of the blue, huh?
Yeah, I threw it at you.
I think my definition of success, oh, we got blurry again. Definition.
No worries. There it is.
I think it's really dependent on the person. Like we were talking about earlier, some people might say, I need 100 units to be successful, or I need this amount of income to be successful. But I think whatever gets you to an area of comfort in your life where you're happy and just thriving, like interpersonally with your family, with your spouse, with your friends, whatever that is, and are really doing good in your career and can really pursue your passion. So I think success is kind of, for me anyway, is multifaceted. So for me, success is being a great husband and being a great partner to the Growth View team, continue to be a great friend, even though a lot of other stuff is going on, being present for those people and really just giving back and giving my time as much as I can to help others.
Yeah, that sounds like a great definition of success overall. Just what strikes me is just a really well-rounded life, really well-balanced, that is engaged. You're a contribution to other people. You're making an impact in your industry and in your family and your community. So Blake, you know, I'm really grateful that we've made this connection, I'm really glad to call you a colleague and a friend, and please let us know over here anytime that we can help you in any way. And, you know, we'll definitely be pulling for you from out here in Salt Lake City, and thanks. Can't wait to see all your updates on LinkedIn and everything else. Listeners, that's another place you can find both Blake and me is LinkedIn. And if you're not on LinkedIn, you should be.
Yeah, pretty active on LinkedIn as well. So shoot me a comment or message or whatever. I'm pretty responsive on there. And yeah, I tell you, hopefully we can do a ski trip here soon and hit the slopes out there in Park City.
Anytime. Yep. I've got a season pass at Snowbird. So I get
my Epic pass. I think the price just keeps going up like every day. And
it'll be interesting. This will be a interesting year to see what the ski resorts are able to do with the pandemic and whatnot. But we'd love to have you out here anytime, Blake. And like I said, any way that we can be a contribution or potentially work together, I'd love to help you out in any way I can. And in the meantime, thanks for all the inspiration, the wisdom, and the knowledge, and just so many great takeaways today, really almost too numerous to get into, but you just have to go listen to it again, guys.
Yeah, we covered a lot.
So, all right. Well, Blake, thanks so much. I never thanked you for your service, by the way.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That more than you know. And thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a good time.
Yeah, you bet. Listeners, thanks for hanging in there with us and listening to the end. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to The Apartment Guys with Tate Seymour. Tate and friends are grateful to have you as a loyal listener. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, rate, review, and share with friends on your Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. Also, check out Tate's YouTube channel for videos of many of these episodes and more. Until next time, take massive action steps and rock on.